GeckoDebt100.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is one of the shows where Chris and I can be the flies on the wall and just let David Hatcher Childress and Don Ecker... Do I hear a buzz in the background?
I'm actually flying around. I'm not on the wall.
Okay, so you're half fly. You went into that machine that they had in the movie The Fly to transport yourself, and it's not like the teleportation device... In Star Trek, it didn't work, wasn't perfected. You're part fly, 90% human, part fly on the wall.
Yeah, brindle fly.
You know, one subject we mentioned earlier when we're talking about people who are somewhat controversial, Richard Hoagland comes to mind. I know we've talked about him before, David Hatcher Childress, but Don Ecker, what's your take on Richard Hoagland?
Well, I've known Hoagland since basically the late 80s. And when you're talking about the moon, there's an incident that I've relayed before in other venues. I'll give it out here once again. But I had mentioned earlier in the show, Jim Sylvan, who was a longtime lunar researcher, somebody that was following very closely in the footsteps of what George Leonard did back in the 70s. And Jim was a guest on my old radio show, UFOs Tonight. Now, when Jim was on there after the show, and like I had mentioned at the time, he was living out here on the West Coast. We were fairly close to each other. We became friends. And he came to me one time because at that time I was the director of research for UFO Magazine. And at that time, we were basically the magazine of record because of the type of work that we were doing. And everybody came to UFO Magazine then at one point or another. And Jim said, Don, he said, you know, he said, I read Hoagland's book, The Monuments of Mars. I was very impressed with his work in that. Do you know him? And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, he said, you know, I've never seen him say anything about moon research. And because of what he did with the Cydonia Mars space, I'd like to send him some material and have him take a look at it. Would you make that possible? So I said, sure, I'd be happy to do it. Well, subsequently, Jim put together a big package of material for Hoagland, sent it off to him, and then waited and never heard a word back, either pro, con, or anything else from Hoagland. However, roughly 6-7 months later, suddenly Dick Hoagland discovered the moon. Do you remember the obelisk or tower or whatever it was that Hoagland came out and made quite a splash?
It was that glass, giant glass tower or something, yeah, on the moon.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I really wasn't paying a heck of a lot of attention as far as Jim was concerned. So the next time he came back on, and of course I was aware of what Hoagland had done, and I kind of thought that they, in fact, had gotten together. So I asked him, I said, well, how did that go with you sending that material on to Hoagland? He said, well, I never heard back from him. And I said, well, Jim, are you aware that he's now out there talking about this glass tower or whatever it was that he suddenly discovered on the moon? He said, yeah. He said, it's kind of funny, isn't it? After I sent him that big package of material and photographs, suddenly this happened. So I did not find that unusual because there were a number of other people that had claimed the same type of reaction when they would send stuff to Dick. Dick would not acknowledge them, and suddenly Dick was onto that particular pony. So
there's a word for that, Don.
I'm sorry?
There's a word for that. It's called plagiarism.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, now this is another reason I come on the Paracast. I learn new words sometimes. So,
Those things happen. Listen, guys, you know, we have a bunch of questions in the queue.
Yeah.
From listeners.
We do. How about this one? There's quite a number of people that were very taken with the work of Alan Sturm. And he left a very enigmatic message as he dropped completely off the face of the planet, and nobody's really heard from him since. And I think the message was something like, follow the white rabbit. Do either of our guests want to comment on the work of Alan Sturm? And could possibly the follow the white rabbit comment be construed to say you should be looking down the tunnel, maybe be going underground? What do you guys think?
Well, I'll tell you from my perspective, I knew Alan Sturm. I had Alan on Dark Matters Radio. As a matter of fact, it was a very good show when he came on. He was basically at that time at the end or coming close to the end of his public research. And there were a number of reasons for that. Number one, he was going through some extremely arduous economic problems because of his and you know, going down the rabbit hole, if you will. When he first got onto the lunar question, he became, like many people do when they get into these esoteric topics and subjects, consumed with it. And he was not making any money at it. His wife ultimately ended up leaving him and divorcing him. Because of the economic problems, his home was taken away from him. And basically, the other thing was, as he told me, all the crazies that were going after him, he ultimately threw up his hands in the air, brought his website down, left that message up there about following the white rabbit, I assume, down the hole, and disappeared. I tried to contact Alan to bring him back on the show because, quite frankly, I was concerned about him. And I was curious as to what, if anything, he was doing. And he never got back to me. I had a cell phone number for him. I tried calling it a number of times. And that was it. He just basically said, I've had it, and disappeared.
Well, what was his he spent quite a considerable amount of time, if I remember correctly, you know, laboriously poring over lunar photographs. Did he have any particular theories that were, let's say, out of the box or beyond the pale? I mean, what was the actual, you know, thrust of his work?
Well, the thrust of his work was he documented, obviously, and he got these, I might add, from the University of Arizona at a lunar archive there. He had met one of the curators, became friends with them. They, in fact, allowed him to go through these archives. And he found some absolutely, in my opinion, ironclad examples of artificial objects, phenomena on there. Some of this stuff was truly mind-boggling. And he was basically, he ended up putting together a PDF book that he was letting go for a song. He was basically, he was asking for donations, just $5, if I recall correctly, and people would get a copy of this book, and not giving a damn about Sturm himself, would pass it around to all their friends and relations, and the guy lost his shirt with it. So you know, he finally just had enough and said, you know. Boy, am I sorry I got off on this tangent. It cost me my home. It cost me my wife. It almost cost me my sanity. I'm out of here. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I can pretty much identify with that. And, you know, I wish.
Yeah, I know you're serious.
I wish you
the
best.
I think to a greater or lesser extent, we all can, you know, speaking for everybody. Well, you know, it comes with the territory. You can't get too obsessed. You have to be grounded. You have to have, you know, a level-headed perspective when you start discovering things that just, you know, go against everything that you've thought up till that point.
I'll tell you what, speaking of being level-headed, we have a lot of level-headed conversation to continue here with David Hatcher Childress and Don Ecker The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. Well, look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 127.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We go back to the moon, kind of like Jackie Gleason said back in the TV series The Honeymooners. To the moon, Alice. Well, we're going to the moon with Don Ecker and David Hatcher Childress, exploring your questions with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast. Chris, you have some more questions to follow up on.
I do. Trained observer, who's been a longtime poster on the forums here at the PowerCast, has an interesting question. Given that countries other than the United States have mapped the moon, have you or anyone else, let's throw this one to David, made any attempts to get Japan or India's high-resolution images of suspect areas that we've been talking about?
Well, no, that's a great idea, and I have to admit, no, I have not made an effort to get those photos and stuff like that. I'm not aware whether they're releasing them. Most space programs are pretty secret, and what they discover, the photographs, even their technology for going to the moon and the cameras and stuff they use, I mean, they tend to keep that stuff a secret. India and China would as well. And then just like NASA, I mean, they'll kind of release what they want. Oh, here's some photos of the moon. Here's what we discovered. If there's really is this secret space program and that the moon, say, occupied and there are structures, this is something that other governments would be aware of too. Certainly the Russians, for sure. And yeah, the Chinese, the Indians, also particularly in China and in India, the concept of what life's about, life on planet Earth, the idea of extraterrestrials and life on other planets. Well, in our country, yeah, we have basically our space agencies saying, oh, you know, there's no life out there. We're going to Mars. We can't find, you know, life. Although occasionally they'll say, oh, well, yeah, you know, there's some bacteria or something. However, with say India or something, they may, just as a nation, may be more disposed to say that, oh, yeah, this is what we found. It's astonishing. There are structures on the moon. Here's photos. They can believe that. In ancient Indian epics, you know, I've often in my books talk about Vamanas and ancient aliens. I'm on the show on the History Channel about ancient aliens. And the idea in ancient Indian epics is that they had spacecraft in ancient times. That's what most Indians believe. They had these things called Vamanas. There are stories within the ancient Indian epics that they went to the moon. So here you have actually a fascinating idea that we've not touched on yet, that perhaps the moon is occupied, but it's occupied by humans from the ancient past. Maybe they're up there, they're Hindus even, have their ancient space base that they started 10,000 years ago. We don't know. I mean, I can tell you, many Indians and Buddhists and Hindus, yeah, in South Asia, they would totally believe that. How about that?
Yeah, and they have cows in space suits wandering around, too, probably.
Well, you know, it's an interesting idea that along these lines that it's been speculated, and Fred Steckling speculated this, also George Leonard, that one of the mysteries in UFOs, and you must have maybe written about this in UFO magazine at one point, Don, or something, is that some UFOs go and suck up huge amounts of fresh water. And there are a number of mysteries in Australia and Argentina, also up in Canada, where all these lakes, people see these UFOs, a hose comes down, they actually take up, you know, thousands and thousands of pure fresh water into these UFOs. Where are they taking it? Why do they want all this water?
Oh yeah, those stories have been coming around, and witnesses that have claimed seeing that for a long time. But you know, I do want to comment very briefly on one thing. You've mentioned him now several times, Fred Streckling. Now I got to tell you, David, I've got a copy of his book. I read it, and it's been some time ago that I read it. But his conclusions, no pun intended, are all wet. Streckling was talking about fresh lakes on the moon. He was talking about trees and kind of stuff. I mean, some of this mind-boggling dreck like John Lear has put out in recent years. Now, where did he come up with those ideas? Well, I'll tell you where he came up with those ideas. He was talking about photographs he saw from the early unmanned lunar missions. Now, during that time, okay, and we're talking about in the mid-60s when the first unmanned missions were going up there to photograph the moon for Apollo, the technology at that time the cameras would take the photographs, photograph strips of the lunar surface as they were in orbit, okay? And they basically ended up making a mosaic. And anybody that's ever seen any of those early lunar photos will know exactly what I'm talking about. You can clearly see the strips and the mosaic of the moon as the craft photographed them. It would develop them on board the spacecraft. The telemetry would then be beamed back to Earth. Now, Streckling's ideas of fresh lakes popping up on the moon, okay, came from solution, from the development solution that would pull on some of these photographs. And, of course, that would be beamed back to Earth, too. Now, the people at NASA knew what in the hell that was, okay? It's solution. Streckling didn't. And then you got this dreck about open bodies of water on the moon. Now, if that's the type of research that Streckling conducted at that period of time, and let's also not forget his family, which has carried on after Streckling passed on, are firm proponents of the George Adamski Foundation, one of the great frauds and charlatans in UFO history. Okay, I don't place a lot of stock in what Streckling had to say.
You know what? You're right there, Don. That Fred Streckling was a follower of George Adamski and believed a lot of what Adamski claimed. It's interesting. We're coming out with a book later this year by the author Joseph P. Farrell, who looks into a lot of the secret technology and whatnot. And it's about Adamski as a disinformation person, looking into his ties actually with Nazis and things like that. So this book we're coming out with more or less goes along with what you say, that and a lot of it's about Adamski, although there's more to Adamski than would meet the eye, I think they would say. Streckling believed, yes, that the moon was occupied. He believed that there were certain craters on the moon, and in fact, one of the most interesting ones, and NASA also wanted the Apollo guys to look at this, is the Tsiolkovsky crater, which is near the south pole of the moon, and it's on the dark side of the moon. That is a really strange-looking crater, and it's got this flat area of it. It looks like it's like it's some kind of agriculture era.
And we'll have to look at agriculture and craters on the moon in our next segment. We have David Hatcher Childress and Don Ecker with Gene and Chris on
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hey, Bill, pick up line 3. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
Here. Thanks. Hey, Bill, I just received my shipment of the safety net, our full-year emergency food system. I can't tell you how great it feels to personally not have to worry anymore, especially with the growing threats to our everyday food supply.
Brian, not only are you getting 4,320 nutritionally dense, delicious food servings, but the individual serving price is just $1.43 per meal. It's truly great-tasting food at amazing prices.
The variety is also a huge bonus, Bill. Bill. It's like having access to a full menu of impressive food.
Well, it really is a safety net for those worried about the coming food shortages and how their families can prepare.
It's great knowing I'm covered for the future, but I gotta go, Bill, and get all this food unloaded.
With scorching heat devastating U.S. cropland, there's never been a better time to visit SafetyNetSavings.com. That's SafetyNetSavings.com. Visit SafetyNetSavings.com today.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have two more segments to explore the lunar mysteries, lunar agriculture. What are we talking about here? David Hatcher Childress and Don Ecker with Gene and Chris. Okay, David, when we broke, you were talking about what was described as an agricultural area on
the
far side of the moon.
Well, I was talking about the Tsiolkovsky crater, and I've got several photos of it in my book from NASA. The more you look at that crater, that's strange. That's also the crater where NASA claimed that they found water on the moon and ice. The cover of Steckling's book that we're talking about, Alien Bases on the Moon, the cover was a really interesting NASA photo, which was a photo of the moon with this glowing cigar-shaped craft with even like some kind of vapor coming off it, and it's moving across the surface of the moon. And it was apparently Steckling's favorite photo that he had discovered of the moon, and it's an interesting one, and he put it on the cover of his book. And, you know, as what we're saying here is that, yeah, he believed that these craft, particularly these large cigar-shaped type mother's craft or something, that they were coming to the Earth, sucking up thousands and thousands of gallons of water and taking it to the moon, and, you know, for whatever, so they could mix, you know, drinks at their moon base inside the moon or something. But
But if we have water on the moon, can't we just build the stuff there rather than have to transport it all that way?
Well, it's pretty clear that, you know, both the moon and Mars, for that matter, don't have apparently, you know, very large amounts of water, although Mars might, because a lot of it's maybe ice that's underneath the surface and is covered with a red dust or something. That's one of the theories coming out.
Well, you know, let me just very briefly bust in here about, and this will cover both NASA as well as questions about life out there. One of the things that I've noticed, I have had a very good friend who lived a few miles up the road from me, who had as a neighbor, just two or three houses down from him, a scientist that worked at JPL. And very clearly, and I remember this vividly, back around 2002, 2003, this guy told my friend, my buddy, that they had definitively discovered water on Mars. Now, that's always been a huge, huge question. And even going back to the Viking program in the mid-70s, okay, that was one of the things that everybody was asking, is there any water on Mars? And we know now that it's very likely that at least in certain parts of the year, there is actually running water from Mars. And it's believed that the majority of all of this water that Mars had once had that ran freely is now basically ice under the surface. So when people ask, does Mars have water? Absolutely. JPL was aware of that. I waited for a long time to hear them make the announcement. Now, why does that matter? It matters because one of the things that NASA has always not done was basically give any good PR about itself. One of their mandates is discovering life off planet, outside the Earth, okay? But yet they had a clear indicator that there was, in fact, a hell of a lot of water on Mars, and it was just recently that they made a very tepid announcement about that. Same thing with the moon. Clementine, the Clementine mission. At the cessation of the mission, they crashed the craft into the south pole of the moon. They found what they then described as a pretty respectable body of water, not liquid, but what would have been a fair-sized lake at the south pole of the moon. Okay, ice. Now, one question that nobody has asked, where in the hell does all this ice and water come from? Apparently, outer space is filled with it, but we never hear about it. Very seldom do we hear about it. What could it be? Well, when you take a look
Comets have water.
Huh?
They have ice. Comets have ice. There's one theory that's where water on the planet comes from.
Exactly. You're absolutely correct. And it's believed, it's not even really known where all the water on this planet came from. A lot of people think that it came from billions of years of icy comets, or at least one of the places it came from was icy comets crashing into our planet as well as the moon. And that's very likely where that ice came from. So, yeah, if we go up there, if we put a base on there, if we want to make rocket fuel and what have you, by distilling water, that's where it's going to come from.
We're talking about water, and that's an important building block for life on this planet and probably many others. What about life on the moon? We know, here's a question from Pixel Smith. Now, I'm not sure where he gets this information, but I'll just read his question. We know that bacterium can survive at least 2.5 years on the lunar surface. Apollo 12 brought some back. I didn't know that. Do you think there are other bacterium or life forms living there right now?
Who was that directed to?
Well, either one of you.
I can say sure. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, there is life on the moon. It may not be indigenous life, just like when the Apollo astronauts, I guess, went to the moon, you know, there were people on the moon running around, and they brought bacteria and water with them when they went. Snack bars and everything. Yeah, but of course, I'm maintaining that there's more going on the moon than that. And yeah, I mean, as I've been talking for the last couple of hours, I'm a firm believer there are bases on the moon. There are dome cities. There are underground facilities there. It's occupied. And if it's not occupied by aliens, then it's occupied by humans. And maybe the aliens are, we're the aliens, in fact. What do you think, Don?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm much more, I think, cautious in my speculation. Because let's face it, what we're basically doing here is we're engaging in a lot of speculation, informed, granted, informed speculation. But I obviously don't know. I've never been there. I'd love to go, but never been there. But if you were to ask me about my speculation about whether there have been at least previously, if not even now, an extraterrestrial presence there, I would gear toward the side that, yeah, I think there is. And for a lot of reasons, not the least of which has been my 20-plus years now of research, but a number of people that I have interviewed that I have great respect for their standpoint. One of them being Dr. Carl Wolf. Now, this is something that we have never really discussed on this program, although we have in passing. Carl Wolf was a guy, he lives here in Southern California. He's not now engaged in what he did when he was in the Air Force, which was electronics. But back in the mid-60s, when we were first starting to send unmanned probes up there in lieu of the emerging Apollo program, he was an electronics technician with a secret clearance. He was working out of Langley Air Force Base. Now, where's Langley real close to? Or what bureaucracy is there? Well, that's back where the CIA is headquartered. And when he was there, he received a call from one of his supervisors. There was, at that time, an unmanned mission going on that was sending telemetry back to one facility, and they were printing out these lunar photographs. Apparently, and remember now, we're talking about the 60s, so the technology is not what it was today. One of their printers went down, and he was dispatched over there to take a look to see if he could repair it. He got over there. His security credentials were all checked.
Don, you know you talked about this during your last appearance, so we got to kind of move through it here because we only have one segment left. With Don Ecker and David Hatcher Childress, the co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi folks, Steve Shank and Babs Rosberg here for eFoods Direct.
In August, we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary in the long-term food supply industry.
To celebrate, the biggest sale ever, our most popular premier one-year food supply for 30% off.
That's 30% off of our Freedom Food Supply. You save $536 on each one-year supply. That's lower than 1981 prices.
If you ever thought about getting a year's supply of food, now is the time.
This whole one-year supply is a balanced selection of foods, and it all fits in the space of a washing machine.
You know you need your own food.
But time is running out. This 30% off sale for the best food on the planet ends Friday, August 26th.
Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/freedom. This sale ends Friday, August 26th. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/freedom.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
Don't forget to write us, news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We're back with Gene and Chris, David Hatcher, Childress, Don Ecker. Don, this is our final segment, and we may have some more questions to ask. Can you wrap this up real quick before we go on?
Absolutely. He discovered that there were a lot of scientists there, not only Americans, but from the way he described it, there were various scientific entities from around the globe. He got back there, he started examining this printer, when suddenly the lone airman that was left in there until the machine was repaired turned to Carl and said, "We found a base on the moon," which absolutely shocked Carl. And he said, "You what?" He said, "We found a base on the moon." Now, Carl immediately thought that he meant, well, maybe a Russian base or something like that, but no. No, this airman pulled a photograph out and showed him on the far side of the moon, what we refer to as the dark side of the moon, what appeared to be a facility there, buildings, towers, antenna, the whole nine yards. Now, was I there? Absolutely not. Did I see this? No, I did not. Do I believe Carl? Knowing Carl for as long as I have, and I have worked with him over the years, he has absolutely no reason to lie to me about this. And I've always known him to be a truthful guy. So this is one of those anomalies that occasionally pop up. And, take it for what it's worth. But I believed him.
Wow. Here's a question from ExoDoc, who's a longtime poster on the forum. Gentlemen, guess what are some of your top pick lunar phenomena events or picks? David, why don't you start with that? We've covered a few already.
In my book, and there's a video, too, of it, Extraterrestrial Archaeology. Yeah, I mean, in there, I run through, all kinds of different anomalies and things. What I find probably the most interesting, which I mentioned before, are these things moving around on the moon, and they leave a tread behind them. And, those are NASA photographs of these things.
Those are hard to explain away.
Yeah, if you look at those, when you look at that, you can see something's going on there. And things are moving around on the moon, leaving a tread track behind them. NASA admits that. I mean, they say they're just rocks rolling around on the moon. But, I mean, in my mind, these are real objects, and they are self-propelled, going to the moon. The moon, too, I believe, is being mined. So, yeah, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, Don, what would you say? What's your top pick for a lunar mystery?
What? This is going to sound like a tease again, but it's the photograph that I discovered in 1997 that I have yet to release that clearly shows an artificial object that was extending through a crater. It was taken in, the photograph was taken in September of 66 from this unmanned probe. And you can follow it on the photograph. And this, incidentally, this photograph came from an actual NASA source. It follows from the crater through what goes over a cliff, and you can see this object again extending out of the cliff with an object on the end of this artificial. It can only be artificial, this artificial object. Now, I've been trying to think of some venue to present this this photograph, along with a lot of other material I have, but some venue that would be suitable. And when I say that, with the maximum exposure. So I've been very tentative about just willy-nilly presenting this thing. Because
how about a few hints or samples to tantalize us, Don? You know, one or two, that's all. We can post it on our forums. We can get a really good link there for you to put up. And then, you know, later on you want to put more up, that's fine. But just something to whet their appetites.
Yeah, chum the waters.
Yeah, chum the waters. I would have to think about this before I do.
We have another question left, Chris.
Yeah, there's and this is a question that I have as well. And basically, it's how can we get NASA to release all those photos from Apollo, Clementine, and other missions? But one thing I want to ask, David, you and I both heard a very interesting story involving Tom Bearden. This story involves microwaving excess energy from the power grid here in North America to the moon. You want to briefly give us a little summation on that? That's always intrigued me.
Yeah, right. I don't know if you've ever heard this, Don. But Tom Bearden and his friend Farnsworth, who was a grandson of Philip Farnsworth, who invented the television, live in Huntsville, Alabama. And Tom Bearden's, you know, famous for being involved in all Tesla technology, a lot of secret technology, and just beam weapons and all that kind of stuff, things that are supposedly sci-fi. But this friend of mine from Indiana who visited him told me the story that he was sitting there talking with Tom Bearden and Farnsworth about Tesla and all this different technology. And then they proceeded to tell him that, well, the energy grid of the United States, once AC power has been put into it by whatever, hydroelectric and nuclear power plants and coal-burning power plants, whatever, once that power goes into the grid, it has to be used, and it can't really be saved, unlike natural gas or something like that. Once it's in the grid, either people use it or they don't. And what they maintained was something very interesting. They said that there's basically excess power in the North American energy grid at any time. And they maintained, incredibly, that power was then siphoned off the grid to a secret base in Mexico, he said, but it's an American base, but it's outside of our own country, and that they microwave it to the moon, to a secret base on the moon. That's what they told him back in the 90s. So, you know, of course, I'd never heard that before. I have no idea. There is a movie that's somewhat based on this called The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. And that movie is also about a secret base in Mexico. And they go to it. It's in the movie. It's an alien base. But that's what The Arrival is basically about. Now, I've never heard
anybody. Before Charlie Sheen became a total wacko in his pre-wacko days.
Yeah, became loony.
Well, he's in that movie, but I'm just, you know, kind of using that as an example. I sometimes think that, yeah, Hollywood does sort of imitate reality in a way sometimes, and even the government uses it, Hollywood, for disinformation and stuff like that. But that is true about the energy grid, and it was something I'd never really thought about. But the power grid within the U.S., yeah, there is, the idea is that there is excess energy in there, and that the military would cleverly use that excess energy to do something. Seemed quite possible. I mean, it seems pretty far-fetched, I admit, but it's an intriguing thought.
Well, we only have a minute and a half left, so I don't want to get into any more extensive discussions because we're just going to run out of time when the clock goes down. That's it.
You've been having too much fun, Gene, Don and David. This has been real fun. A lot of people have been looking forward to this particular episode. Thank you both so much for coming on.
I love the kind of show, guys, when we can just sit back and say, okay, go to it. Don, where do we find more of the stuff that you write about?
Well, actually two places, the Dark Matters Radio Forum on the Paracast and the darkmattersradio.com blog site.
Sounds great. David Hatcher Childress, where do we find more of your stuff?
You can find my book, Extraterrestrial Archaeology, and there's a DVD that goes along with it too, at adventuresunlimitedpress.com. And we have a pretty extensive site of books and DVDs and other things like that, too.
A huge catalog, man. I've seen that catalog. A huge amount of stuff. Chris O'Brien, where do we get those new DVDs about UFO disclosure?
Well, you can go to my website, OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet. It's Our Strange Planet. And we also have a strange moon from the sound of our show today. I want to again thank you guys.
And neighbors, we can be found as well. You can find us at theparacast.com. Once again, that's theparacast.com. Or write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, news@theparacast.com.
We ought to do this again, guys.
Yeah, that was fun. Hey, good talking to you guys.
It was a great episode. Thank you both.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.